This morning, my lesson's entitled, Follow Me. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll find the words that we just sang in the third chorus of this song. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Heaven's invitation is extended to all mankind, whosoever will. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirst come. And whoever desires or whoever wills, let him take the water of life freely. In the rest of the four Gospels, Jesus said, Follow me, some 18 times. Yet many do not comprehend the demands of discipleship. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus calls us not to a life of sinful sloth, but to a life of sacrificial service. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if you turn over there, Matthew 16 and verse 24, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus calls those who are successful. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were prosperous fishermen. Yet when Jesus called them, let's find out what they did. In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Starting at verse 18. Matthew 4 and verse 18. Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. In like measure, Paul gave up position, prominence, and power. If you'd look at Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 4. Philippians 3 and verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day from the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And the things were gained to me. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Sadly, some value too highly the tokens of earthly possessions or earthly success, and are thus unwilling to follow the Savior. If you would turn to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Starting at verse 18. Luke 18 and verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he became sorrowful, because he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became sorrowful, he said, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who can be saved?" But Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The rich are called to a higher purpose, good works and humble servitude. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Also 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let him do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Peter and his companions gave up everything for the cause of Christ: possessions, prosperity, peace, and ultimately life itself. Yet the return on their spiritual investment was beyond measure. You would look back at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And verse 27. Matthew 19 and verse 27. "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?' So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Also, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 starting at verse 28, Mark's account. "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now and in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Jesus calls those who are scoundrels. After having called Matthew or Levi, Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And starting at verse 9. "Then as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, to what end did he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? For the purpose of endorsement or acceptance? No. Jesus calls sinners to repentance, or i.e., a change of heart followed by a change of life. If you would turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And verse 27, this is Luke's account. Luke 5 and verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. But their scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, Those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sinners are called to a higher purpose, sanctification and service. If you would look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 16. Isaiah 1 and verse 16. "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." Also 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, starting at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were baptized and had their sins removed, some of them. Whatever time we've spent in the service of sin is enough. It is irredeemable, wasted, and lost. Disciples of Christ must cease from sin and devote what remains of life to accomplishing the will of God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Now this is one of those verses that starts with "therefore." So we're going to go back a few verses and see what that verse is there for. And it starts, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us." Well, let's go back and see. In chapter 3 and verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of flesh, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit. Jesus calls those who are simplistic. Those who follow him must understand the nature of discipleship. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They must count the cost and be willing to pay the price. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. And great multitudes went with them, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, that means love less, hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Spiritual service is not a life of ease, but involves deprivation. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and starting at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Even to the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, being blessed. We bless, being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. It involves tribulation. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 14, 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It involves affliction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that you would suffer tribulation, just as it has happened, and you know. It also involves persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And last, Jesus calls those who are sin-sick. After having three times denied the Lord, Peter was discouraged to the point of quitting along with the other disciples. If you would turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And we'll start at verse 3. John 21 and verse 3. But Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. When they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. Yet the resurrected Savior met them on the shore of Galilee and demonstrating once again his majestic power. Let's start at verse 4 and we'll read through 14. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Then we find Jesus restored Peter to his apostleship by repeatedly saying to him, feed my sheep. And we find that in John 21:15-17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Afterwards, a most interesting discussion ensued. Jesus prophesied of Peter's martyrdom and then solemnly said, "Follow me." Yet Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, distractingly asked, "What about John?" Rebuking him, Jesus replied, "If I wanted him to remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." In other words, Peter was told to mind his own business, to focus on his own service, to avoid foolish questions and senseless speculation. Nothing must distract us from following Christ. Let's finish this at John 21 and verse 18. "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Let's also look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. "But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless." So I pose the question to you this morning: are you willing to accept the call of Jesus Christ to come and follow him? Just as it was necessary for Jesus to die, you must also die to sin. Let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 23. John 12 and verse 23. "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And anyone serves me, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If you're not a Christian, resolve to follow him. Be buried with Christ in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's the lesson this morning. If there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and obeyed his request that we come and follow him, We can help you with that this morning. The water's ready. If you've already done that, you've obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you, but you have to let us know. And we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.